Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I'll be your host today, but Alex is going to be joining us in the second hour. He's going to be on the line. We also have joining us in the third hour, Representative Matt Shea from Washington State, about the video that's become controversial. The person who was explaining, the sheriff's deputy who was explaining his MRAP and all of its capabilities, and was asked a very simple question: why do you need that here in this small town? And he immediately replied, well, we have constitutionalists. We have people who have guns and lots of ammunition. So we're going to be talking to him about that comment, because that comment is not taken out of context. It's taken in the context of, why do you have this militarized vehicle here? Why is the federal government pushing this on local police departments? Why are they pushing this narrative that their enemies, people they need to be afraid of, are people called constitutionalists? We've seen this over and over again. Of course, there's a lot of news that is breaking on crony capitalism, and we're going to talk a little bit about Elizabeth Warren's speech. She really nailed it about Citigroup. I disagree with her on a little bit of the issues, but we're not going to really pick nits on this, because we need to stand with people when they're right on issues. Take them a single issue at a time. There's probably nothing else I would agree with Elizabeth Warren on. And, you know, there's a lot of people who probably wouldn't find anything they would agree with Rand Paul on in the Democrat Party, except for the fact that he's against the surveillance state, the police state. Stand with him on those issues. Stand with Elizabeth Warren when she attacks the bankers and calls out what is really happening there. Of course, we're going to talk about what real crony capitalism is. The essential ingredient of crony capitalism is that you need cronies. You need cronies in Washington. And so I think it's one of those issues, kind of like campaign finance reform. If you want to get to the solution, you've got to stop this black hole of money and power that we call Washington. That's got to be restrained. That's the real draw, the real magnet to it. We're also going to talk about Obama's derivatives, not just the bank's derivatives, but Obama's derivatives. He's trying to leverage his power, not just with executive orders, but now we see that he's playing these kind of prevaricating games, calling them memoranda. And if you look at that, as we had Jerome Corsi on a couple of weeks ago talking about the fact that this executive amnesty that Obama was saying he was going to do via executive order was not anything that was ever written up. It was nothing that was ever signed. It was nothing that was ever filed. It just came out of his mouth. And, of course, he is putting out a lot of memoranda all the time as well. There's a story on USA Today linked on the Drudge Report about that. We're going to talk about what's really behind that and how they play games with the numbers there. But, of course, the banks are partying like it's 1929 or 2007. They're loosening up their credit standards. We're going to talk about D.C. coming on a collision course with the federal government over the marijuana legalization issue. What's going to happen with that? Is that going to become a kind of nullification, trying to push back against Washington's, trying to control everything about everybody's lives? And so we see that's coming to a head in Washington. Could that set a bad precedent? Could that be something that would actually harm state nullification? Because D.C. is not really a state, so it's not really going to be a good test case of that. But we also see some trouble building up next year. On the 31st, Utah is going to demand that feds surrender their lands by December 31st, something that should have happened when Utah and Nevada and so many of these western territories became states. We've pointed that out. This is something that has been building for several years. And at the same time we see that happening, of course, just as the crony capitalist Harry Reid got involved with people in Nevada handing off property rights that belong to cowboys, we now see in this latest budget bill that John McCain is doing the same thing in Arizona, except to the Indians. It's the crony capitalists versus the cowboys and the Indians. Who's going to get the land? That's the fight that's coming up. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Your torches of wisdom. So we have even right there.
What's his name?
6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. I'm going to be your host today. I'm David Knight. We're going to have Alex Jones joining us in the second hour. He's going to be with us the entire second hour. We have also a Washington State representative, Matt Shea, who's going to join us in the third hour talking about what's going on in Washington State around the Spokane area, the Spokane County Sheriff's Office specifically. It's yet another example of what we're seeing across the country. It's not just one police department. If it were, that would be one issue. But this is something that we're seeing happening in New Hampshire. We're seeing it happen in Washington State. We're seeing it happen everywhere in between. This is something that's being driven by the federal government. Militarization of the police, changing the way they interact with the public, the way they think of the public. As a matter of fact, it was just yesterday that Paul Joseph Watson was on talking about the Beware program. This is a program that for $36,000 a year, and that, of course, is paid by the federal government who is pushing this on local law enforcement, for $36,000 a year, they will troll social media looking for comments. They will look at your purchasing records, and they will start assigning threat levels to you that they can then give to the police, rating you from a green, yellow, or red. Send that to the police as they have engagements with you. So not only are you a threat if you're in the general public to the police, that's the rules of engagement they're being told, but they're going to actually rate you as to how much of a threat you are. Now, we see in the city of Pittsburgh, they've actually banned negative comments, and I'm going to get to what's going on with the banks today as well. But just before I get that, I want to do this little aside here, because as we see this over and over again, this is a developing pattern of behavior, not only monitoring everything people do, but assigning this kind of threat level to them. In Pittsburgh, in the city of Pittsburgh, South Pittsburgh, they have banned negative comments on social media for people who work for the city. They say it seems like every few meetings we're having to address something that's been on Facebook and has created negative publicity for us. So every city employee is now going to have to sign an acknowledgement of this policy. And some of them were pushing back and they said, but what they're trying to say is, if I'm a city employee, you're telling me that what I can say at night is not freedom of speech? And they say, well, you can say pretty much all you want, just not anything that sheds a negative light on any person, entity, board, or things of that nature. Go ahead and post all you want, just don't criticize us. Does that look kind of like what happened in Mexico recently? Remember those 49 college students who were killed? Remember why they were killed? They heckled a politician's wife at a speech. And for that, a couple of mayors in a couple of different cities, as well as a couple of police departments in a couple of cities, got together and put a hit out on these 49 students using the drug gangs. How far are we from that when we have a government that is increasingly insular and sensitive about everything, will not let us know anything? Everything is on a need to know. And of course, you, as just a citizen, don't have a need to know anything. Now, Obama has been issuing executive orders by another name. This is a story that's up on USA Today. It says that he's been issuing things that he calls memoranda. Well, they're not technically executive orders, they say. You know, if it looks like it, it walks like it, it smells like it, that's what it is. But he's saying that, no, they're really just executive, they're memoranda, not executive orders. Now, of course, we just had a couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Jerome Corsi from WND doing some research, and he found that this executive order that's going to grant amnesty, they say to 5 million people, but we had an article up on Infowars.com yesterday, a sheriff analyzed this and said, this is an open amnesty. This is way bigger than 5 million people. And of course, they don't know. That 5 million is based on their census reports. I mean, if you're here illegally, are you going to fill out a census report? This is an entitlement program. It's an inducement for further illegal immigration, whether it's used or not. And yet, of course, the Republicans didn't do anything to try to stop it. But as Dr. Jerome Corsi pointed out, Obama never wrote up an executive order. He never signed an executive order. He never filed an executive order on amnesty. He just spoke it. Or maybe he wrote a memoranda. This is what he's been doing, is writing these memoranda. Now, they point out that he's already signed 33% more presidential memoranda in the last 6 years than Bush did in eight. He's done 45% more than Bill Clinton did. And they've got a graph here. At one point, they say, well, he's doing more than any president since Harry Truman battled the do-nothing Congress 7 decades ago. Well, this doesn't even come close to what Truman did 7 decades ago with the quote-unquote do-nothing Congress. It is not an excuse for him to go around Congress if they don't pass a legislation that he would like to see. That's why we have a division of power. But if you look at their chart, you can see essentially an exponential curve going up, starting with Carter and going all the way up through Obama. You see an exponential curve in terms of the memoranda that they're doing. There you can see it right there. You see there's one little drop right there under Bush. And I guess the question is, maybe, you know, Bush 41 didn't want to even go on paper with memoranda. Maybe as a CIA guy, he just kept everything secret so nobody would know. But then you have this pushback from Harry Reid saying, earlier when people were accusing Obama of executive overreach, he said, well, they accuse him of that, but they neglect the fact that he's issued far fewer executive orders than any two-term president in the last 50 years. I don't think that's true, even if it were. That's not taking into account the memoranda. It's not taking into account executive orders that he says he's made but not signed or filed. But here's the big deal. It's not even about the quantity. It's about the quality. As they point out, memoranda can be anything, or executive orders can be anything, from saying that we're going to have a particular holiday that is going to be off for employees. Or it can be massive amnesty and open borders. Do you see the qualitative difference between saying this is when we're going to take the Christmas holiday versus we're going to allow unlimited immigration to take down this welfare state that we've set up? That's the real issue. But it's not just Obama. There's another article up on InfoWars.com today from Dennis Kucinich, former Democrat congressman, absolutely amazed that three members of Congress, he says, just reignited the Cold War while no one was looking. Well, I don't think they reignited it. I think they're throwing fuel on the fire in a major way. This is what he describes. He said, late Thursday night, the House of Representatives unanimously passed a far-reaching Russia sanctions bill. A Hydra-headed incubator of poisonous conflict, the second provocative anti-Russian legislation in just a week. It further polarizes our relations with Russia, helping to cement a Russia-China alliance against Western hegemony, and undermines long-term American financial and physical security by handing the national treasury over to war profiteers. Now, this is something that passed unanimously, but according to the rules, unanimous in this case meant just three guys there late at night. Everybody else had gone home after they had passed this continuing resolution slash omnibus bill. Everyone else had gone home. Three guys on the floor. They pulled this bill up and they have the power to say, we're going to do this unanimously. And since neither of the three of them says no, it passes late at night. Does that sound familiar to anybody who knows the history of the Federal Reserve? Remember how we got the Federal Reserve Act in 1913? They did it around the Christmas holidays after everybody had gone home. We've seen this pattern happen over and over again. Well, what did these three guys get passed unanimously, just on a voice vote between the three of them? What did they get passed? Well, here's what they got passed. Sanctions of Russia's energy industry, sanctions of Russia's defense industry, sanctions of Russia's banking and investments, privatization of Ukrainian infrastructure. How is the American government privatizing Ukrainian infrastructure? Are we in control of Ukraine? Well, yeah, through the World Bank and USAID. Then money, $50 million for a corporate takeover of Ukraine's oil and gas sectors, $350 million for military assistance to the Ukraine, $30 million for an intensive radio, TV, and internet propaganda campaign for former countries of the Soviet Union, $20 million for democratic organizing in the Ukraine, $60 million for the National Endowment for Democracy to improve democratic governance, they say. An unverified declaration that Russia has violated the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, a path for the U.S. withdrawal from the INF Treaty, a demand that Russia verifiably dismantle, quote, any ground-launched cruise missiles, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you total this up, what they spent is $510 million. Three guys on the House floor. Do you get the idea that Washington is out of control? Do you think that we're being controlled by just a minority of people who are gaming the rules like Obama did? And it is not just Obama. It's a pervasive problem. If the Republicans, if the Democrats wanted to stop any of this, they had ample opportunity to do it. They had ample warning. We have a speech that Elizabeth Warren did going to Congress. Play just a little bit of that, guys, before we go to break.
On Wednesday, I came to the floor to talk to Democrats, asking them to strip this provision out of the omnibus bill and protect taxpayers. On Thursday, I came to the floor to talk to Republicans. Republicans say they don't like bailouts either, so I asked them to vote the way they talk. If they don't like bailouts, then they could take out this provision that puts taxpayers right back on the hook for bailing out big banks. Today, I'm coming to the floor not to talk about Democrats or Republicans, but to talk about a third group that also wields tremendous power in Washington, Citigroup.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that as we come back. We've got to go to a break. But we're going to talk about Citibank. We're going to talk about what the banks are doing. The banks are loosening their lending standards to levels seen before the financial crisis, according to the LA Times. Yeah, they're partying like it's 2007, like it's 1929. And guess what? They can do that without a care in the world because the Democrats and the Republicans just signed you up, American taxpayer, to cover their losses. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today on this Wednesday, December 17th. Alex Jones is going to be joining us for the next hour and the second hour. He's going to be joining us and be with us the entire hour. I'm going to get back to what we just left off with, Elizabeth Warren talking about this banker bailout, the insurance of the derivatives, and how Citibank is really at the bottom of that. But before we do, I want to tell you about our special. We have a yesterday and today we had just a 2-day special. So today is the last day of the Essential Holiday Health Pack. It's Secret 12, X2 Nascent Iodine, and Silver Bullet. All three for just $59.99. That's would be retail $139.85. You save $79.90. That's nearly a 57% savings. That's just available for today. This is the second day of the 2-day sale. And of course, if you order it today at InfoWarsLife.com or anything else, you'll be able to get that guaranteed shipping by Christmas. Again, that's Secret 12. That's our B12 nutraceutical grade. Survival Shield X2, our crucial nutraceutical formula for iodine, and Silver Bullet. This is just a special that's going to end today, a 2-day special that today is the last day of that. Now, going back to these comments that Elizabeth Warren had, she said, to just recap what we heard her say, she said, I came one day and I talked to the Democrats about how we don't want to go back and insure these bailouts again. Then I came the next day and I talked to the GOP. Now today I'm coming back to talk to Citibank. We have an article up on Infowars.com, Meet Your Newest Legislator, Citigroup. This is from Wall Street on Parade. They point out that Citigroup is the Wall Street megabank that forced the repeal of Glass-Steagall back in 1999, then blew itself up as a result of the pump and dump that happened and culminated in 2008, then was propped back up in the largest taxpayer bailout in the history of the world, even though it was insolvent and didn't even qualify for the bailout. It's now written its own legislation to deregulate itself. It's got the president to lobby for its passage, and it's received an upvote from both houses of Congress in less than a week. And they say, and here's one more thing about Citibank that you don't know, or Citigroup. It didn't just have a hand in bringing the country to its knees in 2008. It was a key participant in the 1929 collapse under the moniker National Citibank. Same thing is true of J.P. Morgan, of course, the actual man. Now the group bears his name. It was interesting, about a year ago on the anniversary of the 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve Act being passed surreptitiously around Christmas vacation, just as we saw this massive $510 million bill and essentially throwing down the gauntlet to Russia with sanctions on essentially everything. That getting passed on the House floor with just three members present and doing a voice vote. There was shenanigans like that in passing the Federal Reserve Act 100 years ago. And I kind of pointed out how the bankers would manufacture banking crises and then use that to push for their own solutions, such as the Federal Reserve. I drew parallels in a video that we did at the time to It's a Wonderful Life. And that went up on YouTube. And when it got to about 12,000 views, YouTube took that down. They said it was a violation of copyright. It wasn't a violation of copyright. It was fair use. It was commentary, comparison between It's a Wonderful Life and what J.P. Morgan did. Furthermore, they had the entire movie, It's a Wonderful Life, available in the United States for people to watch and has been up there for years. At the time, I think it was 700,000 people had viewed it. It had been up for 2 years. They didn't have a problem with that, but if we used a few excerpts and commented on the similarity between what the banker who tried to put the savings and loan out of business in Bedford Falls and that story, It's a Wonderful Life. If we drew a parallel between that and the creation of the Federal Reserve, between the banker who did that and J.P. Morgan, that was going to be a violation of copyright, they said. They took it down. They took it down for about 7 months, and we had other people post it up, put it up. They would take theirs down as well. Same thing. This is a violation of copyright. Then they took the copyright violation off this summer. I guess they figured nobody was going to be looking for It's a Wonderful Lie. But that we're going to put that video back up. We need to do that. But that's exactly what they're doing. Congress is using its power as a banker derivative uses their power. The difference is that they're not deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. They're leveraging their power by accepting contributions and giving away your taxpayer dollars, giving away our economy, not just your mortgages. They're going for the whole enchilada. They have, this is all the derivatives, and they're pulling this back in to have it covered under FDIC insurance. We're going to be right back after the break. We're going to talk specifically about what Elizabeth Warren said. We're going to talk about what really needs to be done with this, and we're going to look at what's going on with Russia. A massive economic warfare there, and the RT Times says Russia may go nuclear. Talking at this moment economically, but it could happen physically if this keeps up.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Show us your habits, your facts, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. I'm going to be your host today. Alex Jones will be joining us in the second hour. We're also going to be joined in the third hour by Washington State Representative Matt Shea. He was on the nightly news last night. He was interviewed there. And by the way, we have a year-end special for Prison Planet TV membership. It's normally $54.95. Now you can get it for just $29.95 a year. That's 7 months for free, or only $2.50 a month, $2.50. You can share that with 20 other friends. That's only about 12 cents per person per month, if you look at it that way. Now, what do you get there? You get the news every Monday through Friday at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. You also have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries, a great way to put this in perspective for your friends and family. And that's really the task before us at this point. We need, if we're going to have effective change, we need a much broader base of people who are really aware as to what's going on. Right now, as we just saw, they're pulling the wool over our eyes. We've got Obama issuing executive orders, calling them memoranda, essentially going against the will of Congress, saying, I'm not getting what I want from you guys, so I'm just going to go around it. And of course, playing games with it, saying that, well, he's not issuing any more than other presidents have, when other presidents' memoranda about vacation holidays count as a memoranda. He is going around and offering open borders, massive amnesty, access to the welfare state for tens of millions of people. It's an entitlement program for people that aren't even citizens in America. It's a Cloward and Piven strategy, and he is joined in that by John Boehner and Republican leadership. But where we're going to really see the economy collapse is a replay of 2008, a replay of 1929. We talked about that in the last segment. Of course, the key player, one of the key players there is Citigroup. And Elizabeth Warren called them out on the floor of the Senate, trying to convince Republicans and Democrats to stand by their rhetoric and say they're not for bailouts. We know they're for bailouts. They voted for bailouts. We know that they don't want to stop amnesty. They voted to fund amnesty. We know they don't want to stop Obamacare. They voted to fund Obamacare. Can we get over this? I mean, I saw something on the Drudge Report the other day. Mark Levin said, I'm this close from leaving the Republican Party. What does it take? How many times do they have to lie to you before you leave? I left them decades ago, miles behind. I figured out that game a long time ago. Haven't you, GOP people? Haven't you, Democrats? Haven't you, Democrats, now seen the bankers get everything they want from the Democrats? You can't wake up about that. You can't wake up about the torture, about the endless wars, about the surveillance state. Look at this from Citigroup. This is back in 2011 from Infowars.com. Headline, Citigroup ordered to pay $285 million in derivatives fraud complaint. They say that they sold a portfolio with risky mortgage-related investments to unsuspecting customers and then bet against it. They bet against the thing they were selling their customers. So they paid $285 million, but they had sold a $1 billion portfolio of mortgage-related investments. See, crime pays. Crime pays in Washington, and it's paying off again. Now, what do we see in the immediate aftermath of the bipartisan support for putting the bankers back on taxpayer insurance again? Only 6 years after they did this to us. That's how stupid we are. They say the banks are loosening lending standards. This is a report from the LA Times. They said the largest U.S. banks have lowered their standards for some of the riskiest lending, and a sign that weak underwriting is returning to levels seen before the 2008 financial crisis, according to a regulator's report. Well, why not? They've got nothing to lose but your money. They're not going to lose their money. The profits they'll keep, but they'll lose your money. They say the banks have continued to erode standards, especially with large corporate loans, consumer loans, and leveraged lending, risky financing used to fund corporate takeovers and a lot of other things too. They bet everything in the world on these leveraged buyouts. Now they have a quote from Jennifer Kelly, the chief national bank examiner with some bureaucracy called the Office of Comptroller of the Currency. She said the trends are, quote, very similar to those from 2004 to 2006. And they said in their report that they think the credit risk will continue to increase in 2015. Yeah, no doubt. Remember when Ronald Reagan said, if you want more of something, you subsidize it? What are they subsidizing? They're subsidizing the bankers taking inordinate risk. So, of course, you're going to get more of that. Now, what did Elizabeth Warren say on the floor of the Senate? We played that quote where she said she talked to Democrats, she talked to Republicans. Now she's going to talk directly to Citibank and talk about Citibank. She pointed out the vast influence that they have at Citibank. And, of course, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, the usual suspects, these guys essentially fill most of the financial-related positions in Washington. She said three of the last four Treasury secretaries under Democrat presidents have had close Citigroup ties. The fourth was offered the CEO position at Citicorp, but turned it down. She points out the vice chair of the Federal Reserve System is an alumnus of Citigroup. She says the undersecretary for international affairs is a Citigroup alumni. The U.S. trade representative and the person nominated to be his deputy, who's currently an assistant secretary at Treasury, they're Citigroup alumni. What is the U.S. trade representative doing right now? He is fast-tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Transatlantic Partnership. These are massive sovereignty-attacking trade agreements that go after our financial, go after the internet, go after privacy, go after control of the internet. Many different issues beyond free trade, beyond finances, but these are being negotiated in secret as part of this fast-track trade negotiation. Our elected representatives are not allowed to see what these banker lobbyists are doing along with our trade representatives from the U.S. government. We're not allowed to know what's going on with that. We'll have to let them pass it until we can see what they're going to do to us. But we've had some leaks from WikiLeaks and others. And, of course, this is something that we know that they're going to give themselves power elevated to the level of sovereign states. They will have a tribunal kind of trial if they think that regulation or something is costing them too much money. They will have the same level, only multinational corporations. This is not your mom and pop business down the street that decides to organize for tax purposes as a subchapter S corporation or as a C corporation. No, these are the multinational corporations, not even the big corporations that are entirely subsumed within one country. No, these are the multinational corporations that will be given these special government-like powers. She points out that Wall Streeters on Wall Street and Wall Streeters who had powerful government jobs teamed up and blocked the move to break up the banks. And she said, now Citibank is bigger than ever. And she pointed out that New York Magazine quoted an official from the Treasury, and she said, I'm quoting this, if we'd been for it, talking about the Treasury, it probably would have happened, but we weren't, so it didn't. She said, that's the kind of power that they have there. That's a very scary thing. She said, you should have been broken into pieces. She said, I agree that Dodd-Frank isn't perfect. If it was, you would have been broken into pieces. Now, that's where I disagree with. I don't want to nitpick what she had to say. I think she did a very great, impassioned speech pointing out the corruption in Washington, pointing out the crony capitalism. We have an article up on Infowars.com that talks about what Elizabeth Warren missed in her big bank tirade. I don't think we need to throw rocks at Elizabeth Warren. I just disagree with the fact that it can be fixed by breaking up Citibank. The problem is not the consolidation. That is a symptom of the problem. The root problem is that there's too much power and money that's been consolidated into Washington. So it's the consolidation in the government that creates this kind of consolidation. As a matter of fact, it was under Bill Clinton that the massive consolidations of banks began. When they approved the Nation Bank and Bank of America merger, that was the largest merger anybody had ever seen. At the time, nobody really believed the government was going to approve it because they underestimated the influence of the big banks in the White House, in the Clinton White House. And of course, Hillary Clinton is joined at the hip with Goldman Sachs. But they approved that merger. That set a precedent that allowed these banks to become, quote, too big to fail and too big to jail. It all started in the Clinton White House. And it was in the Clinton regime that they took out Glass-Steagall, which was set up to separate the risky ventures into margin calls, into options that had fueled the speculative bubble that burst in the Great Depression. They had set that apart and said, we're going to enact certain restrictions on banks because we're going to give them certain protections like FDIC insurance. Along with that FDIC insurance, they were going to have certain regulatory restrictions as to what they could do. That was removed under Bill Clinton. The consolidation of the banks happened under the Clintons. So, yes, you can break up the banks, and that was something that that foreshadowed all of this, but it was only a symptom of the fact that they can get whatever they want in Washington, when Washington has access to so much power and can print money at will. That's the real problem. It's just like campaign finance reform. If you go in and try to artificially influence elections by putting all kinds of rules, nobody's going to get hurt by that, but certain people who are small individuals, people who are outside of the political insiders, people like Dinesh D'Souza will go to jail. But the big guys are going to continue to bundle the contributions. The problem is that everybody is going to Washington. It's a magnet for corruption to have that much power consolidated. That's why the founders of this country talk so much about consolidation, about division of power. That's why they put it in the Constitution that we now ignore to divulge power away from a center. They knew that power would want to become centralized and that it would breed this kind of corruption. So you can't have crony capitalism if you don't have the cronies in Washington. And to make it clear that it's Citibank writing the legislation, we've put up on Infowars.com this legislation that was put out, and you can see the Citibank draft from the lobbyist side by side with the final bill. And you can see that it was, and in this case, it was another Democrat, Jim Hines from Connecticut, who basically put this up. They didn't get what they wanted on some of these things, but they keep coming back until they get exactly what they want. This time, of course, he's got help from Republicans. We've got Kevin Yoder, who is now missing in action, a Republican, after tucking the Wall Street bailout into government spending bill. So in 2013, they use a Democrat, Jim Hines from Connecticut. Then in 2014, they use a Republican. See, they own both of them. It's the banks at the heart of this. It's the banks who are pumping up this reckless war that they're trying to restart, the Cold War that we talked to the author yesterday about that book. That's where that is coming from. But as we look at, as they're moving in this crony capitalism, one of the ways that they're doing the crony capitalism, of course, we saw in Nevada. Remember Harry Reid and how he was passing out favors on federal lands to large multinational corporations? Some of the deals went through. Some of the deals were falling through. Nevertheless, they were going in with the Bureau of Land Management, the federal government, keeping all of this land that should have been turned over and sold out, divided up amongst the people of the western states as they became states. They didn't do that. Rather, they kept control of that. And now they're using that in a kind of crony capitalism. We saw that in Nevada with Harry Reid. Now we see it in this latest budget deal. We see that John McCain is doing the same thing, this time with a copper mine. In Nevada, it was against the cowboys. In Arizona, it's against the Indians, specifically the Apaches. But it's the same process each time. Now we've got Utah saying that they're going to fight the feds and tell them they want the lands surrendered to them by December 31st. They're going to have a proclamation. This is a New American article. They say that coming up on December the 31st, the state of Utah is going to formally demand that Washington, D.C. relinquish control of more than 30 million acres of valuable land currently controlled by various federal bureaucracies. They say Utah lawmakers, citizens, and experts say the time has come for the state to manage and to profit from its own resources. And constitutionally speaking, they say, experts say the land should have gone to state control generations ago as the federal government promised when Utah became a state. See, that was the underlying argument there at the Bundy Ranch. And we went out there to cover the police brutality, but this is the issue. And this is something that got underway in Utah back in 2013, before the Bundy standoff. This is a Republican governor, Gary Herbert, who is putting this through. But you can see the pattern of crony capitalism. When they control this kind of land, they're going to hand it off to their corporate buddies, whether it's Harry Reid doing it in Nevada or whether it's John McCain doing it. And we need to stop fighting amongst ourselves. We need the cowboys and the Indians need to unite against these crony capitalists who are robbing us blind, using things that should rightfully belong to us. And it's all because of the concentration of power and capital in our nation's capital. Now, there's another fight that's going to be coming up in Washington, D.C. that's also come out of this budget deal. And that, of course, some of us have talked about how the Republicans have said that they're going to stand against this referendum that passed to legalize marijuana in Washington, D.C. Now, that was a referendum that passed by 70% of the voters in this last election. They wanted to legalize marijuana. And now the congressional Republicans put a provision in this omnibus spending bill saying that they're going to not allow that to happen. The provision says that it's going to prohibit the city from spending taxpayer dollars in order to enact the initiative. See, they always bribe us with our money or with the paper money that the Federal Reserve is doing. Now, the interesting thing I think about this is that I think the only way that we're going to get control of Washington, certainly the Republican Party is hopelessly as corrupt as the Democrats are, the only way that we're going to do it is to get outside of that system. One way you can get outside of it is to go to third-party politics or create a new party if you're only going to have two parties. Whatever. We need to break that partisan monopoly. The founders always understood that was going to be a problem. And you know what? If you're still a Republican and a Democrat giving these guys a pass, you're the biggest part of the problem because you really don't get it. So we need to go outside of that party system. We need to go outside the mainstream parties, but mainly we need to fight it, I think, at the state and local level with nullification. Now, this brings up an interesting point with D.C. if they're going to talk about this from a nullification standpoint, if they're going to take them to court, if they're going to say, as he said, if the D.C. government doesn't stand up against the federal government, then I will sue the D.C. government. That's going to bring up a very interesting case, because the problem I see is that they could very well use this suit and strike it down and then pretend that this is striking down state nullification. The District of Columbia is not a state. They don't have the same powers as the states do. The states are sovereign entities who created the federal government in the first place. They retained those powers under the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. There's not a legal basis for Washington, D.C. to do that. Unfortunately for those people, maybe they should move to a state. But that's where I see this as being a problem, taking it to court and possibly weakening the idea, or using it to weaken the idea of state nullification. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour, but I wanted to tell you about our, this is the last day of our two-day special. This is the Essential Holiday Health Pack. We have Secret 12, X2, Nascent Iodine, and Silver Bullet, our three most crucial nutraceutical formulas, available for just $59.99. If you paid shipping and the normal retail price, that'd be $139.85. You now save nearly $80, 57%. And of course, today is the last day of that two-day sale. If you get anything at the InfoWarsLife.com store, you will get it by Christmas guaranteed delivery. And as I said, Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour, so stay with us. In this segment, I wanted to just go over a few short stories because I want to talk more in depth about what's going on in this economic warfare that's developing, as well as the derivatives that we've signed on to with the banks, and as well as the we've got some torture stories here that have come into play. We've got CIA medical professionals are now being accused of committing war crimes. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But it was interesting, I thought, the day after we saw this siege going on for such a long time in Australia, and many people have pointed out the fact of Australia's massive gun control, how that didn't stop this fellow who had a rap sheet longer than your arm, very serious crimes that he had been involved in and accused of, yet he was still able to get a hold of a gun in Australia and do this. So the government didn't protect anybody and from that happening. The gun control laws didn't protect anybody from that happening. And then I saw this story out of Charlotte, North Carolina. A second suspect has been charged in Southeast Mecklenburg County deadly home invasion. They say a teen is dead and his brother is charged after breaking into a home. Police say these two brothers were reportedly trying to break into a home when a 14-year-old who was visiting his grandmother shot one of them dead, who was later pronounced dead at the scene. The other one ran away. They caught him. He had a pistol he shot them with. Now, here's the other thing about this particular shooting. It's not just a 14-year-old defending his family with a gun against home invasion from two guys. They say that he has seen this kind of violence before. He lost his father during a robbery homicide in 2008. His father, Greg Hernandez, was shot to death at his business. It was Greg's automotive. He had the hood open on the car. He was a mechanic. It was his garage. Somebody came in and shot him, they said. And this boy was 8 years old at the time. And what he realized, I think, was that nobody is going to be there to protect you. You have to be able to protect yourself. That's what good law enforcement is telling people now. That's what Sheriff Dave Clark tells people in his jurisdiction. He says, we'll catch the criminals, but we can't be there at the beginning. You need to get a gun. You need to take a class and learn how to use it safely, because you have to be able to protect yourself to fight these guys off, and we'll eventually catch them. That's what happened in Charlotte. He shot one of them. The other one ran away, and then the police caught that guy. But he would have been the victim just like his father. if he wasn't armed. The sad story, sad that his father died, but at least he's learned that lesson to protect himself and to protect others. Now, of course, we also have more evidence of the burgeoning militarization of the police. We have urban training exercises going on around Dallas. We also have them happening in L.A. And this was an interesting story. I'll just mention this before we go to break. Medical marijuana patients are being identified on the new Canadian driver's licenses. There you go. Talk about profiling people for particular activities, for crimes, for opposition to the state, right there on the driver's license. Total surveillance is going to be total tyranny. We'll be right back. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment. He's going to be with us most of the hour. We also have a Washington State Representative, Matt Shea. We talked to him last night on the nightly news, and he's going to be joining us in the third hour to talk about the video that now has become kind of controversial. We received that video from some people in Washington State. We put it up with comments, and actually, it was self-explanatory, I think. They were showing an MRAP vehicle, and they had a lady filming it, asking the deputy about it, and he's talking about all the different capabilities, and then play this video, guys. Go ahead and put the audio up on it while we're watching this. They can hear that.
Well, the nice thing about this piece of equipment is that if somebody is directing fire toward a team that's trying to get in, they can pull right up to a front. Take enemy fire and still try to address a threat without being fear of getting shot.
So I'm thinking that is totally appropriate in Iraq, but what kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists, a lot of people that stockpile weapons, a lot of ammunition. They have weapons here locally.
There you go. So that's what we put up. We got that clip from somebody. Now, the sheriff's office there said that comment was taken out of context. No, the context was she asked him, why would you need that in America? We've seen this happen before. Remember when that happened in New Hampshire? It was large, over-the-top, militarized equipment. I would call them white elephants that was given to these small-town police departments. And there's a Marine colonel saying, you're better equipped than we were. Abroad, I think it was Fallujah where he was. It was, why do you need this kind of equipment here? He was very concerned about what that was telling us. And of course, when she asked him, you know, what do you need? He was talking about, this is going to protect us from fire. You know, we can get into this thing and not worry about being shot. And then he goes, well, why do you need it here? Well, we've got a lot of constitutionalists and people that stockpile weapons, lots of ammunition. They have weapons here locally. What is that about? They're concerned about citizens having weapons. They're concerned about people who are constitutionalists. We know very well where that's coming from. That's coming from the documents that we've shown over and over again, where the federal government is creating these scenarios, creating fear amongst the police departments, propagandizing the police departments to be afraid of the citizenry, telling them that their life is in danger every time they go out, that there are people who want to kill them, that they're not going to go home to their family, so they need to shoot first. And that's what we're seeing here, the change in the way the police are interacting with each other. So we're going to talk to a Washington State Representative, Matt Shea. He doesn't think that the comment is out of context, and he's going to give us a broader context of some other comments that have been made in that particular area. And of course, the sheriff of the Spokane County had said that he did not agree with the recent gun control legislation that was passed in Washington State by referendum, something making it illegal to pass firearms from one private individual to another without some kind of a background check. He pointed out he didn't even know how he's going to enforce that. It's really totally unenforceable. But that's not even the issue. It's not even the issue. It's whether or not it's a good law or whether or not it is enforceable. The issue is, does it impinge on our constitutional rights? And Matt Shea had a very good comment when we got in touch with him last week. He said, nobody is proposing that you have to take licensing or get permits to exercise your First Amendment rights. Why should we have to do that with our Second Amendment rights? Well, of course, we see that people in Washington are hinting in that direction about the First Amendment as well. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Alex Jones.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this December 17th, 2014. I'm here in the studio. Joining us live on the road is Alex Jones. Alex?
David, you've been doing a fabulous job. Thank you so much for sitting in one day last week while I was out and one day the week before and, of course, much of this week. Before I get into a lot of really important news and analysis over this landline I'm on, every time I even take a vacation for 4 or 5 days, which I'm on air probably more than any other radio talk show host out there, doing the Sunday show, taking part in the nightly news. Most talk show hosts take off about a month a year because it is exhausting. I take off on average about 2.5 weeks. And it's because when I do take off, people really complain and it becomes a whole conspiracy theory about where is Alex Jones. I mean, I'll just tell folks that last Christmas I had 3 family members die over the course of December into January. Remember, folks had to take off off and on a record amount of time, about 1.5 weeks, while those nightmares were unfolding. And then this year, it just seems to, when it rains, it pours. I've got family health stuff dealing with, and then I've also got other things I'm just having to take care of. But a lot of it's actually very good news, very exciting, and I'll be able to talk about it in the new year. But the info war has never been stronger. It has never been expanding at this level. That's all I can tell people, is that we're doing some things right now that are going to be major game changers. The enemy is pulling out all the stops. It's like a spy movie. I'm not going to get into it, but it's extremely exciting. I mean, when I got into this fight 22 years ago, I had no idea that it would become like a James Bond movie. And before I get into the news here today and talk about some issues with David Knight, and we have a state rep coming on who's standing up to the sheriff. Most sheriffs are pretty good on average. This sheriff's a federalized minion, saying he mainly trains for war with the American people, and he's pretty much standing by those disgusting statements. As we told you, the MRAPs were for the people. We told you it was for the Tea Party and the veterans and the Christians and the conservatives, not because I have a crystal ball. I was given this intel 20 years ago by people in the military and the FBI when it was just by word of mouth. Then I was given by the FBI, and this was actually on video, they gave us this at an Army checkpoint on I-35, secret documents that are in the takeover, that it was for preparations to condition the public for martial law. And now it's all been declassified. It's in Forbes, it's in Reuters, it's in the Washington Post. Pentagon prepares for its main enemy, the Tea Party. So let's just get this straight. There is a world government. It is tyrannical. It's anti-free market. It's overthrowing all the checks and balances of common law, Magna Carta, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. Should be Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights in that sequential time order. So I correct that. The reason I don't like people calling in and thanking me constantly, And the reason I raise this is because when I take a few days off, I get a lot more reflective, and I want to be on air so bad. That burning passion that I always have to be on air becomes an explosive passion to be on air when I'm still reading the news, tracking information, talking to the crew. And that's why when I come back from vacation, I'm so charged up. But the epicness of this battle, I see all these other more well-spoken men than I, smarter women than I am as a man, and I see them in business and life being successful, but I don't see them in the animating contest for liberty. And so I'm humbled as a guy who, you know, quote, didn't finish college because I've started a media operation successfully. when all these great people look up to me, when I know that a lot of members of Congress on and off record listen to the show, when I know that all these people in Hollywood listen to the show, when I know that tens of millions of you listen to the show, when we have the number three guy in the Japanese government on who listens to the show, or Andres von Bülow, the former head of the Defense Department in Germany, their former CIA head, comes on and says he's a listener and helped base his book on some of my research, the CIA carried out 9/11, translated from German. And I'm not bragging about Alex Jones here. It just hit me again right before I went on air that I cannot believe I'm in this position. And I would imagine David, after I leave, could speak to this, how he got in the position he's in now, talking to tens of millions of people on the nightly news and when he fills in on the radio. But the reason I mentioned my personal experience and why I'm so humbled is that I already feel like I'm not doing enough. I already feel like I should be doing more. I'm already frustrated that my mind and my intellect and everything isn't strong enough to defeat these people. I'm here trying to move you, who are the answer, who are the solution, who are the resistance, to realize you have the power. David Knight's an engineer, worked in some research think tanks to promote liberty. Did some research exposing illegal FDA testing on people to create fake numbers. He entered a contest, didn't win the contest, but here he is talking to tens of millions of people every day. You folks are the leaders. And I don't care if you're not a lawyer or a doctor or an FBI agent or a corporate owner. If you're just a school teacher or an auto mechanic, you can affect people. You can speak out. You can say no. You can expose this takeover that's happening. You have the power. That's why the whole system is about teaching you. You don't have the power as an individual. You only have a power through globalist institutions, and that's how they get the best and brightest to join this whole collective, compartmentalized, anti-human system that things are converting to. There's still a lot of the older, better parts of the system left. But as we convert to this tyranny, they don't want you to ever think about the big picture. And that's all I'm doing. I'm nobody. I am like Toto, the little black dog. Nothing special about me, except I'm so little, I can look under the curtain and see there's feet there running something, and it looks fake to me, and I pulled the curtain back, and there it is. I'm not telling you what to see. I'm not telling you what's even going on. I am telling you, as a little dog, what I see through my eyes when I pulled it back. You can see what you see there, but it's there. And now it's out in the open. And so I am humbled to be here. And I just thought about the audience today, how wonderful you are, how good you are, and how you've put up with me and all of my annoying ticks and warts, you know, that I engage in. And that's why we're trying to build InfoWars with other great journalists and researchers, so that there's different perspectives and different angles and different views on what's happening, because this thing is so big and it's moving so fast. That's why I want you to become citizen journalists. That's why I want you to start your own websites and start your own investigative reportage and never stop, because in that action, we will find the leaders that will take down the New World Order, but not just find the leaders. Doing little things overall, many hands make light work. And I know I'm stating the obvious here. It's just from the bottom of my heart in this Christmas season where we think about family, we think about Christ, we think about all the sacrifices of those that came before us for human liberty and dignity and goodness. And as we see evil exponentially growing and fraud growing and taking over, we also see that equal and opposite reaction in Newtonian physics of, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and we are that reaction. And to be that reaction is to then be in the presence of God's Spirit, and that's why I feel so humbled, because we're all fallen. We all have that flesh nature. And that's normal to then feel, when you're actually fighting tyranny and everything, to actually feel humble, because it's such an epic, huge task that we're all involved in. And that's why I want everybody to realize that I commit in the new year, and this Christmas, to be even more of a man, to be more focused, to be stronger, and to commit everything to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, no matter how horrible it is, because it is in that admission of what's horrible that we can then recognize what's good and preserve and expand and be good stewards of this planet and create a world where our future progeny can do things that we haven't dreamed of, just as our ancestors went through hell so that we could have so much liberty and so much wealth and be spoiled brats today. I want to transcend what this world's trying to do to us. I want people to break out of the trance. I want to break out of the trance because we're all in a certain level in a trance of this modern world, caught up looking into, you know, the siren's eye of this whole media system. And so we don't have all the answers. Like Billy Corgan said last week, we don't have to always even be right. Our heart's right. Our gut's right. We want freedom. We know when we read the headlines, not just at InfoWars.com, but just all over the world and what we see in our everyday life. Report, U.S. ground troops clash with Islamic State fighters. Pentagon announces increased military activity on Russia's border. State rep slams sheriff for defending controversial MRAP comments against constitutionalists. Cop tases 76-year-old car dealer for driving a car with expired inspection sticker. I mean, this is the type of stuff. Bush versus Clinton in 2016. New World Order dream matchup being touted as inevitable. See, they tout all this tyranny as inevitable, so you just think you're not in the game. Fed judge, Obama amnesty unconstitutional. Obama issues executive orders by another name. A full-blown economic crisis has hit Russia. Tie all those headlines together. Ladies and gentlemen, we told you 3 years ago they were going to start a war on Russia's borders in Ukraine or Georgia. We picked those two countries. 7 years ago, I made the Obama deception. Or 6.5 years ago, we predicted the Afrikan invasion under humanitarian claims because it was in Pentagon reports. We predicted the attack on areas like Ukraine. They're now cutting off Russia's gas pipelines. They're routinely getting blown up. It doesn't matter that Russia has its own corrupt issues. They're not offensively doing this. The Russian ruble has collapsed. Russia is in collapse economically right now with George Soros at the head of it, bragging publicly that he's running it. Now, listen, Russia isn't trying to take our guns. Russia isn't trying to bankrupt us. It's George Soros who brags he's doing it. When they're done with Russia, they're going to get us, and they're already getting us with our jobs to China and our jobs to Mexico and opening our borders and put cancer viruses in the vaccines and jacking with us on every front. Stop living in denial for new listeners out there. If you'll just look into the wild claims I make, you'll find out truth is stranger than fiction. It's really going on. I mean, just take what's happening with Russia. In the matter of a year, they've taken an economy that was growing and people that were upwardly mobile and embracing capitalism and freedom and promoting families and family values, and they've turned it back into a Politburo Soviet-style system because it's the only way they can survive. Just like the globalists attacked us through their radical Islamicists on 9/11, so that they could then take our freedoms in a response to that attack. This is the master plan, just like army troops. We'll be right back. We're going to continue with this breakdown.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin, and on the road we have joining us Alex Jones. Alex?
Absolutely. Again, folks, I'll be calling in tomorrow, probably in studio the next day. David Knight sitting in doing a fabulous job. I get so excited when I've been gone just a few days, and I think the one reason our broadcast has been so successful, out of many, but the biggest, is I am excited. I am passionate. I'm not in this normalcy bias, mass Stockholm syndrome, I'm going to take it attitude. And I thought about who we resonate with. You know, they call us a niche audience. Well, everything's about niche media today. Well, I don't think of freedom and private property and due process and family and the right to self-defense and men being brought up to defend themselves and women being brought up to defend themselves and police working for locals and following the Constitution. And not starting fights and wars with Russia so we can turn them into a bigger tyranny than we are. I don't call that niche issues. I don't call devaluation of the dollar a niche issue. But the liberty movement has been a niche. That's all these cynical corporate people see it. They're always, good job. When I go to radio conferences and stuff, you really know how to work that niche audience. What I'm here to do is to work this audience into waking up other people to defeat the New World Order takeover that's happening, because I don't want to be a slave. What is it that all the cynical corporate people out there cannot get. There's real things in this world. The globalists are enslaving us. The globalists are messing with the food supply. They are biologically and chemically engineering us. All the major BT crops kill 90%+ of the rodents by the third generation. I'm going to say that again. The ones that live have tumors all over them and are mentally retarded. I'm going to say that again. Why do they test drugs and foods on rodents and pigs? Because biologically, rodents and pigs, pig hearts transplant better than baboon hearts into humans. They test on pigs and rodents because biologically, they're the most similar to us. What a poison does to a rat, it does to us. What a poison does to a pig, it does to us. And the GMO food that they are feeding all of us kill the lab animals. Look it up. Kill the lab animals. Now, again, Bill Gates has said he wants death panels. He said at TED TV talk that he wants to reduce human population down to zero. We can play that clip. Everybody laughs because they're in the in-group. So call me a maniac. Call me crazy. You're right. You're right. BT corn from Monsanto in German, U.S., and Canadian studies has been found to explode the little guts of little honeybees. And as the main contributor, that with frequency pollution to them being almost 80% dead in areas of North America. Okay, and on average is over 60%. In fact, the numbers are higher than that. They're always changing. Look it up. Is that alarmist? You bet, because it is alarmist. It is a crisis. And that's all I'm trying to get at here, folks, is that I do this every day, so I get very familiar and comfortable sitting next to this data that is so devilish, and I take a few forced days off to take care of other corporate issues, family issues, you name it, that have got to be dealt with because we're going to the next level, and it makes me realize that I am becoming comfortable with it. And I think that's what this personal rant is about today. Before I get into some news, the next segment with David Knight, is that the news is even the best of us start getting comfortable with this, and I'm not going to get comfortable with my incremental soft kill. That's why the globalists do all this stuff, is a creeping corporate death. But the good news is a lot of corporate people and a lot of folks in the actual strata of the system are waking up, and I'll tell you who's really waking up. Our military and our police, I'm not kissing their butts when I'm the guy that wrote the book, quite literally, on the police state and how it was coming. We lost that battle. It came. But because we warned everybody, along with Jack McLam and so many others, that it was coming, now they listen to us when it came. And who do you think really listens? They go, my God, Alex Jones saw this 20 years ago. Jack McLam saw this 30 years ago. Oh, my God, all these, General Parton saw this 20 years ago. All these other people saw this, warned us. Now it's coming true, and everything they keep telling us keeps happening. Yes, not because we're that smart. We have the documents. We publish them. We show you. This is a plan. So now I've converted over as I've got more sophisticated. Before, I was like, how dare you be part of this? To now saying, hey, you better wake up. This will destroy your freedom as well, and they're listening. But meanwhile, they're trying to hire as many bad cops as they can, just like they, you know, try to promote radical Islamists so they didn't have an excuse to go into the Middle East. And they're trying to train cops in some departments to taser 76-year-old people that argue with them over an inspection sticker so that the public then hates the police and so that we then get in a culture war with them and the globalists have just divided and conquered again. So I know we can win this fight. We come back. I want to get David Knight's personal experience, because I didn't plan this today. I'm going to get David Knight's personal experience on what this has been like for him, and does he feel humbled? And then sometime this week, we should open the phones up on that subject as well. We'll get to a ton of news. Stay with us.
The front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones. Out
of my way. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin, and joining us on the road is Alex Jones. Alex?
Thank you, David. I've settled down a little bit. It's just that sometimes it hits me just how epic this is. While we're all busy watching college and NFL football, the West, that is the criminal bankers, not the red, white, and blue. The red, white, and blue has been captured overall by the enemy. They're now trying to capture us individually, capture our towns, our police, our states. But the globalists and their methodology, their corporate system of anti-free market consolidation is starting war with Russia. They've driven down oil prices not to help start Western economies, but to bankrupt Russia that was trying to keep oil prices down by undercutting OPEC. So there's a price war going on, just like Walmart will move into a town for 5 years and sell stuff at a loss, and then after all the stuff's bankrupted, they have computer actuaries. This is public. There's been books written on it, and then they jack up the prices. They do it to suppliers, too. They come into an area and they say, we want you regionally, say 10 different outfits, there's been lawsuits over this, to produce eggs. Sign a contract for 5 years. And the contract has an out for Walmart. Within 2 years, there's a glut of eggs. The people didn't know it was a manipulation. Most of them go out of business, and then they'll have one or two suppliers that will sell them eggs just to not go bankrupt at cost or below. See, this isn't free market. This isn't capitalism. This is vulture capitalism, but disqualifying most people so they won't be against it by making them dependent. And I know you know that as an audience. We've got to get these basic truths out to everybody else. And the good news is you didn't hear these topics talked about 5 years ago on Mainline Talk Radio. Now you do. You didn't hear this stuff talked about on CNBC 5 years ago. Now you do. Don't international bankers secretly rule the world? Aren't they in full control, panel? Doesn't the economy not matter now? They control all the currency and credit and keep it for themselves, and we now are just their slaves. And they go through all five people on the panel, and they go, absolutely, we are slaves to international world bankers who've taken over by fraud. Oh, but Alex Jones is a kook, and Ron Paul's a kook. Oh, and Alan Greenspan published essays and books. I've got some of them. We're going to look those up and do a whole report on them. I forget the names, his essays and two or three books. Oh, that's right. He co-authored one with Ron Paul. I forgot. It was a group of essays in a book put out by the – who was the founder of the Libertarian Party? We used to have him on. He died a few years ago. The point is he put a book out with Alan Greenspan and Ron Paul. See, Alan Greenspan's kind of like Darth Vader. See, he joined the dark side. This is what I'm getting at. This is not my opinion. Well, I'm never joining the dark side, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't fight this and speak out against it as new listeners, you have already joined it. Your silence equals consent, folks. This is a planned, total screw job, total evil takeover, and everyone knows it, or you're living on the moon. So all I can say is there are efforts out there to shut down freedom on the internet. Zuckerberg publicly met with the internet censor czar from China. The White House met with him. They're moving on us right now because they know you're waking up. That means we've got to fight that much harder. We have a chance to really turn the corner on this. Does it mean we're going to win? Look, it's a process. Yes, we'll win by them not getting their full world government in place so we can start reversing their gains, and they're going to keep fighting because they know how to make money and have power out of fraud. A leopard doesn't change its spots. The reason evil's taking over is that good people have gone to sleep. We don't change our spots either. But if we can be mesmerized and put under a mind control spell, that's what the globalists call it. They call it a high-tech, in their marketing manuals I've seen, a spell. They put a spell on the public. They get your kids with a certain beat in music when they're 10 years old to then be brought into their culture so they can be corrupted so that they never attain higher awareness. Again, it's all being scientifically done, and the very people doing it will admit they're doing it, but saying, hey, I want to make $1 million a year and work for the system, but boy, I feel terrible about what I'm doing, and then their kids end up being screwed up. Their kids end up committing suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, the wages of this system is collapse. The wages of this system is evil, and none of us are perfect, but the point is we've been right. We're right today, we're on target, and we need everybody to take this information and get it out to everyone they know. 20 years ago, as I've said 1,000 times, maybe 1 out of 50 people knew that the Federal Reserve was set up in 1913, a foreign-owned subsidiary of Rothschild and Dutch royalty and British royalty with some Rockefeller ownership. Astor ownership, some of those blue blood family ownership. You can look it up. Now, almost every everyone wants it audited in national polls over 90% or want it abolished and know it's really private. Again, it went from no one knowing it's this giant private fraud to almost everyone knowing it. It went from Ron Paul 20 years ago, couldn't get one co-sponsor to repeal it. But now it's passed the House two times, and they've killed it in the Senate. But this time the Republicans have enough people to pass it. They probably politically won't because they're being blackmailed, so we'll just put more Tea Party people in there. The point is we've gone from no co-sponsors to it passing the House. You see, nothing can stop an idea. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. That's why they don't want to have an idea fight. Before we fully win the idea revolution, they want to kick off a civil war that I continually warn about because they've got a chance to win that one because they'll play us off against each other. I just got chills, and that's not an affect when I say that. I mean, I get chills when I talk about this because I'm giving you the enemy battle plan to enslave us and bring us down. We have the enemy plans. We have the Death Star plans, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got a lot better chance than the fictitious X-Wings in an imaginary universe to take it out. We can bring them down. Every one of you is a little X-Wing out there exposing the New World Order, exposing the globalists, exposing their program, exposing their plan, exposing eugenics, exposing abortion, exposing Planned Parenthood, exposing... I went and saw a movie last night with my children. I'll do a review later. It was the Hobbit, the Five Armies. I just thought it was a 2.5 hour video game. I mean, it was entertaining, but just not as good as the others because it's just so cartoonish now. It was just a 2.5 hour battle scene, basically. Certainly entertaining, but I felt like I'd been brainwashed at the end of it. They had an ad at the beginning of it for about Martin Luther King. The movie looked interesting. But notice how it's all perfectly timed. It's all about rising up and stuff, and it's going to make people get really angry and reinvoke bad stuff that went on, you know, 40-something years ago. Notice right on time when all the race war stuff is being promoted. This is all – it's been declassified that the CIA and the Justice Department give initiatives in Hollywood. We've played the clips of the Attorney General saying we need to brainwash the public about guns. We said literally brainwash them. Well, let's go back. It's the same thing on race. Once you know all their programs, you can see them trying to start a war with the police and have the cops start a war on us. You can see them bringing in the racial component. You can see them dividing us along straight gay. Not that there aren't issues from different perspectives out there that are going on. The point is, it's a distraction from the larger takeover that's happening. The battle against world government is raging. We're going into secret trans-Pacific partnership treaties where they've leaked pieces of it, and it's total end of internet freedom, corporations ruling Congress, beyond fast track. It's all happening. They just don't tell you about it. It's buried in the back of congressional statements and legislation. This show is about bringing out these topics and presenting them, and then it turbocharges the broadcast that I happen to be totally freaking out about it because that's a normal reaction, and then that gets sheeple who are in an unconscious state to kind of go, oh, wait, this sounds like a guy ranting about football. See, they make football all interesting on ESPN with all these guys in suits, and they're talking about every angle of it like it's a military operation to take up the areas in the male brain that are for strategic planning, warfare, business, you name it, so that we're all busy playing fantasy football and fantasy video games, living in a false reality. I mean, I see all these Sony PlayStation ads about, you know, be somebody, dare to be great. You know, all these slogans they've got about you can do great things, you can do epic things. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do epic things right now against a worldwide elite that is creating robots to replace us, putting total real-time internet systems into everything so that there's an internet of things, not to empower us, but to control and predict reality and then steer reality. You can already order on Amazon. It orders it before you order it and sends it to you. You go into pizza places now, it face scans and retina scans you and tells you what pizza you wanted to order by what your eyes looked at. I told you 15 years ago that I was in a DARPA facility at the University of Texas and shown this stuff when it was secret. I'm on record. I made films about it. It's coming. The total takeover. The takeover of your psyche. The takeover of your children's souls. The takeover of your free will. My God. Whenever I see that 1950s Body Snatcher movie, where, I mean, if it was Body Snatchers, it'd be easier, because this is, they're not human. This is our own people doing this to us. He's gotten out of the small town. He's running up to the interstate. He climbs up the back of an army truck. He's warning everybody. They shove him out the back. He climbs back in, and there's pods in the back. And he jumps, and he goes, oh, my God, they're everywhere. You've got to warn everybody. That's how I feel, because it's all on record what they're doing. It's so diabolical. There's no goodwill in it. It's all done savagely and coldly and viciously, like humanity deserves to be overwritten by this whole thing. And I'm just sitting here desperately trying to warn people, not because I'm a hero, but because I'm a deer in the headlights, saying, my God, we better get out of the road here. We're going to get run over. Now, I know I'm ranting. This is what happens when I'm gone a couple days. But I want to get your take on this while I settle down a little bit, and your view on what I was asking you earlier, David Knight, and then I'm going to hit a few news stories and get out of here, because I know you have that state rep coming up. We're going to send our reporters out there to the sheriff's department, where the state rep is slamming them because there's a big protest coming up. And a lot of people would say, you know, what's the point of sending people out to one sheriff in Washington state? Well, when we first started interviewing the sheriff up in Milwaukee saying, arm people, that's what makes you safe. Then the head of Interpol came out and said it. And then all these other sheriffs and police chiefs came out who didn't know they had the political support and who would have been targeted and were being targeted by Bloomberg. We came out and made them celebrities like they should be. We came out and held them up. That's a real celebrity, a man that does the right thing and stands up against bullies like Bloomberg and others. Not some basketball player. The sheriff up in Milwaukee County is a hero. He's been on our show before. Not somebody like Michael Jordan. I'm sorry. It's just that sheriff's a hero, putting his job on the line to do the right thing in the face of the globalists. Conversely, you get a sheriff like this saying, I need this to take on the constitutionalist, and we're going to try to get him here on the show. Well, then that's somebody who we need to point out it has it wrong, and we need to protest it to let people know, as veterans or gun owners or Christians or libertarians or conservatives, we're not going to let you list us like Hitler listed the Jews or other people as an enemy to be rounded up. We're not going to sit there while you prepare for full-out war with us, hoping we start something with you, putting provocateurs into our ranks to do it. I've had it done to me more than 100 times. More than 100 times. I mean, I put up with this, and I'm sick of it. That's why we don't want police getting hurt. We don't want to have a war with the military. But we don't want you, like Katrina, to come take our guns. We don't want you to follow orders that are unconstitutional. They're going to start a civil war. That's why we're protesting the First Amendment. With the First Amendment. That's why we're going to Congress. That's why we're taking over the states. That's why we're taking over the Congress. We're going to try to have a peaceful restoration of the Republic. David Knight.
Yeah, Alex, we're going to have that representative on in the next hour from Washington State. One of the things that he said that I thought was troubling in the interview last night, he talked about this sheriff having the Southern Poverty Law Center in to work with his deputies. The things that he said in terms of trying to tie the Bundy Ranch to these guys who shot police officers in Nevada, that's coming straight off of the script from the federal government, from Homeland Security.
Well, exactly. I mean, we already knew. When you hear that sheriff open his mouth, it's ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
Well, who are the ADL? They got caught breaking into police stations, getting all the data. They've been convicted of it. They've lost libel suits. They'll defend George Soros and give him awards, but then, you know, call me stuff. But take the Southern Poverty Law Center. It came out in federal court repeatedly that they ran Elohim City, the nest where McVeigh prepared everything, and that's on record. And when their own federal informants wouldn't lie and said, yeah, no, we trained them, they indicted them. Federal informants with no criminal record. Okay, and I've interviewed the police officers, everybody involved who knew about it. So just remember, folks, the Southern Poverty Law Center means business. They're not a bunch of little liberal dope smokers that care about black people up there. They're a hardcore intelligence operation who is on our butt. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody can be a victim of this kind of propaganda. I mean, this is obviously, Southern Poverty Law Center is a part of the federal propaganda. And there's a lot of law officers out there who are victims of that kind of propaganda. This sheriff's deputy who mentioned constitutionalists, that was something that he had been taught. That was something that they had fed him. He didn't just come up with that word out of nowhere. So these guys, so the question is, are they victims of propaganda or are they propagating the propaganda?
Well, let's be clear. The feds, just like the globalist fund Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and now our army has to fight them. You want to tell me about 10 years ago, an army soldier go, you're saying 9/11 isn't real, and I've got part of my leg blown off fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan? And I said, no. I said, that's not what I said. Have you ever heard me? He goes, no, I just heard about you on national television saying you said that. I said, no. I said, our government funds and protects these people, sets them loose, and then you've got to go fight them for real. I know they're real. I had a guy call in once when I was on another show and say, man, I got shot in Iraq. Are you saying 9/11 didn't happen? And I said, I didn't say that. I said, our government stood down and funded them. And now look how they openly fund ISIS. Look at how they're openly turning them loose in Syria and other areas. And then our army's got to go fight them when they then blow back. That's a real war. That's a real fight going on over there. And that's how the globalists do it. They stir it up. They create the big crisis. They offer the solution. Same thing with the police. That's where I'm going with this.
And now they're stirring the pot really big with Russia, with these derivatives. And we see everything falling into place as they've insured their derivatives again. We see them increasing the risky loans that they're doing. We see them pushing with just three people on the House of the floor, three congressmen on the House of the floor, passing unanimously with a voice vote this $500 million bill to essentially go to war with Russia and impose sanctions on them. It's just absolutely amazing
moving,
to see them pushing this.
U.S. troops in against the border when they did nothing.
Yes.
But getting back to the police, because I was just using the Al-Qaeda example, how we create the enemy. The police, they federalize them. They give them the armored vehicles. They give them the training. Then when they use it against the groups, oh, my gosh, the feds come in to save the day. Same thing. The same Justice Department that has its hand up the puppet area of the Southern Poverty Law Center is the same one then demonizing the police everywhere. I mean, I hope the cops are smart enough to figure this out.
Oh, yeah, I think so. We got to go to break. Alex, we're going to be right back with Alex Jones. In the next hour, we're going to have Representative Matt Shea from Washington. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin, and we have on the line with us on the road, Alex Jones. Alex?
Well, again, David, I'll be with you with this segment, the next, and the state reps coming up. But I'm looking at the interviews. I'm looking at the reports we've got. The Spokane sheriff has defended the armored tanks, calls InfoWars conspiracy theorist. That doesn't work anymore. He's going off a federal script saying they need these for coming war with the constitutionalists when they take enemy fire. We're being lined up like idiots, the red and blue team, basically, to kill each other, and just following the orders like a bunch of morons, while the global social engineers, as you said, are getting all the laws passed, bigger than 2008, to implode the next derivatives bubble, bring in the next big global recession that'll totally bankrupt Russia, hurt us bad, and then they will pose as the saviors when it's on record they engineered the 1929 collapse. It's on record that these very same financial interests, they control all the money. So they want to create bubbles that finally pop, folks, to get your property, to make you a renter, so they can then social engineer you. And if they can't get you in a ghetto housing project, if they can't get you on these government reservations or plantations, they're going to put you in a corporate one. This is all about managing humanity, not to manage us, to empower us. That'd be bad enough because of the tax-free will. God doesn't do that. We certainly can't do it right. It's like the Ring of Mordor. It always turns bad. And we cannot sit here and allow this. We cannot sit here and see all this unfold. Just briefly, and then, David, I want your take about what the experience of talking to millions of people is like, because I talk about how humbling it is, because I realize that we're all in this fight together. But please don't forget, folks, I'm also humbled by the fact that you support InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I'm humbled by the fact that you make all of what we do here possible. The globalists absolutely hate the fact that whatever's left of the free market, we're able to self-fund this truly independent, liberty-based media operation that you make possible. And by your purchase of the high-quality products, that's why I commit to you from the bottom of my heart to bring you the highest quality Made in America 1776 line. That's why I promised to bring you the very best cutting edge super nutraceuticals. And we're running a couple specials right now. The Essential Holiday Health Pack, Secret 12 is back in stock, a limited amount of the super high quality vitamin B12. X2, Nascent Iodine, and Silver Bullet, only $59.95. That is, what, $30 off at least. That's a retail value of $139, 57% off right now. I guess you save $70. I don't know how to do all these numbers. Just go to InfoWarsLife.com. Available for 2 days only, today and tomorrow. Essential Holiday Health Packs brings together three of our most crucial nutraceutical formulas, Secret 12, Survival Shield X2, and Silver Bullet. And if you act now, this limited time offer is our biggest InfoWars Life special this holiday season. This is the perfect opportunity to stock up and save on these key health products. PrisonPlanet.tv is still $29.95 for a year membership, instead of $54.95. That's nearly half off. 20 people can use it. Just get it. Give them the username passcode, as long as it's a unique one that you made for just the site, and they can go check out all the films, the nightly news. That's 12 cents per person per month, and that just pays for the bandwidth. As bandwidth drops, we will continue to lower the price, like the singularity, of PrisonPlanet.tv until one day, if I get other funding mechanisms, it will then be free. And already you can have Roku, Boxy, you name it, and watch it on your television. Get your friends and family to watch the films. If you like Jakari or Leanne or David Knight or McBreen or any of the other great reporters that are up there, Paul Watson, countless others, you know, there at the operation, you can focus in on their reports or check us all out at PrisonPlanet.tv. That's really our best deal right there to wake people up at the same time. Thank you for your support. I'm ranting here, David. We're going to break. We're going to come back. And I want you to spend a few minutes. In fact, I'm just going to get off now. But I want to listen as I go back down and finish some work I've got to do. I want to listen to you via the free iPhone app. Talk about what this experience has been like for you.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Visit GCNI.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in studio. We were just joined in the last hour by Alex Jones on the road. And he was talking about how humbling it is to be here as part of this operation. And I got to say, for me, it's a very different experience. I didn't build it. Alex built it. And I know this represents something that he has worked at, a labor of passion that he's worked at for over 20 years. I've seen the documentaries before I came here. I'd seen the internet, talk radio. All of these things are such powerful tools to wake people up that really hadn't been used together in a way like Alex used them. And the synthesis of all that together, I think, was a very powerful thing, a very honest presentation of the problems that we're faced with. I've looked for a long time before I came here. I was tried to get active in politics. I could never get any traction as a third party politics, no matter what aspect I worked in it. Could not wake people up. It really was an educational issue. We were trying to run campaigns as a third party, trying to educate people, and yet it wasn't getting through because it didn't have the kind of power that we have now with the internet, with documentaries. It's very humbling to come here. I can't believe that I'm here. It was bizarre for me to come in here because I had been watching it, like many of you have, from a distance. And to actually come in here, see Alex, see part of the operation, it is a very humbling situation. And I just hope that I don't do anything personally to damage it. It's also amazing to me that Alex does not control what we have to say. And we all here are pretty much on the same page. Sometimes we'll have different takes on different issues, on things, and there's not a control about that. We're allowed to have that freedom, that honesty, and that's what I really appreciate here. Before we go, do you guys have that clip of the sheriff? Because I wanted to give a little bit of a clip of the sheriff's response, which didn't come for like 3 days after we put the article up. Of course, we reached out to him to try to get comment. That's not something we have to do. It's something we tried to do as a courtesy. They didn't respond to that, but they criticized us for not getting back to them until late on a Friday night, and yet they didn't put anything up, I believe, until the following Monday. Nevertheless, in the next segment, we're going to have the representative from Washington State, Matt Shea, and he's going to talk about his perspective on things there. Let's get the sheriff's perspective here briefly before we go to break.
InfoWars and Alex Jones, in my opinion, this is standard operation procedure. They only give you what fits their agenda. If they, you take a look at their site right now, you will find death threats towards this deputy that remain on that website. In my opinion, that is unconscionable. Especially when this deputy has 20 years of law enforcement service.
Hold that right there. I got to respond to that about the death threats. I'm not aware of any death threats there. They did not contact us about any death threats. I got to say that when people put death threats up on our site, we take that down. If that doesn't get taken down, or even a veiled death threat, one of the first experiences, talking about coming here to InfoWars, one of the first experiences I had was answering the door to the Secret Service because somebody had made a veiled threat to the Bush family. And it was really very, very obscure. This, it wasn't like I'm going to find these guys and shoot them. It was very obscure. Came here demanding to know who had posted that. Don't put that on the internet. That's stupid. People who put that on the internet are either idiots or they're feds. So I don't know if he saw some death threats on there. I'd like to get him on. We'd like to talk to him. We're open to talking to the sheriff. We'd like for him to make his case. He wants to say that what we have is standard operating procedure, that we have a biased presentation of what's going on. How about the Southern Poverty Law Center that he invited in to talk to his deputies? Maybe he ought to compare notes to see who's right. Are we right? Is the Southern Poverty Law Center right? I don't know. We're going to talk to Matt Shea, a representative for Washington State who lives in the area. He's going to talk to us about his firsthand experiences. We're also going to talk about the rally that's going to be coming up this Saturday. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, December 17th. Coming up, we have Representative Matt Shea from Washington State. He's going to talk about this video that surfaced where the sheriff's deputy defended they're having the MRAPs when asked, why do you need that in a small town? He said, well, we need it for the constitutionalists. We have people who have lots of weapons and ammunition around here. And then, of course, after we put that up, a couple of days later, the sheriff in that area posted this video and comment to that.
InfoWars and Alex Jones, in my opinion, this is standard operation procedure. They only give you what fits their agenda. If they, you take a look at their site right now, you will find death threats towards this deputy that remain on that website. In my opinion, that is unconscionable. Especially when this deputy has 20 years of law enforcement service, has a Medal of Valor, and has served his nation in the United States military.
Okay, let's get Alex Jones's comments. He heard this in the segment five after, and it got his blood pressure up like it got my blood pressure up. Alex, do you want to comment?
It's funny. I was talking to the guys earlier, and I said, hey, I haven't seen the sheriff's response yet, but we should play it. I know we're trying to get him on since this broke over the weekend. And then I heard you play it. I hadn't even seen it. I just said, well, I want to hear what he has to say. So then I heard you play that, so we just played it again. That is a total Southern Poverty Law Center, 100% Justice Department, Obama-written style deal. I mean, you know now. They admit they're being run by the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's a Justice Department spinoff. And it is just insane. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you go to CNN's website, you go to YouTube, there's every threat, every mindless garbage. We use third-party Discus. That's one of the biggest third-party commenting systems that almost, you know, but half the other people use, literally, it's just huge. And that has the moderators, everything by them. We got this out of house a few years ago because we learned, in many cases, the feds were going in and posting threats to then put it on MSNBC and things. And as soon as we did that, they quit because we realized it was a vulnerability that we had our own commenting system through WordPress that was on our own servers. Goodbye to the FBI. Goodbye to the Secret Service. You know, coming by with subpoenas wanting this and that. And I'm telling you, folks, they've caught the Army doing this before. It's been in the news. You know, just like they catch people in their own dormitories putting swastikas on the wall or putting a cross in their front yard. Most of the black churches get burned down. It was, you know, it's to get sympathy. Usually when you some woman, a white woman, you know, carves stuff in her face and says, black guys do it, the cops immediately know she did it, or vice versa. I mean, these cases happen constantly. There are probably a lot of hotheads shooting their mouths off. That's just part of the internet. But also, we've got to look at them. They're the ones saying we're all violent. They're preparing for a war with conservatives and libertarians and constitutionalists when they swear an oath to the Constitution. We know that demonization is going on. So instead of answering why they're getting armored vehicles, why they're training for war, a shooting war, in their words, with us, instead, we have a Medal of Valor. Well, that's not in the Marines, is it? Is it a Congressional Medal of Honor? No, I don't think so. I'm sure it's some department Medal of Valor for SWAT team raids. The point is, just like they give you a drone pilot's awards, he's sitting there crafting this for local TV in the community. Listen, Fall War's most despicable thing I've ever seen in my service. They want our officers dead. We're under attack now. I mean, they just put that out to demonize us, just like he demonized us with his deputy, saying it's for the American people. When anybody who actually listens to this show knows we show both sides, but there isn't two sides to the federal government arming to the teeth against the American people and putting out tens of thousands of armored vehicles, 5,000 MRAPs the last 3 years, and all the rest of it. And it's not even the equipment that's the problem overall. It's that they're preparing them for a war, and they go back to this quote now. Although, see, they're violent. I've never seen nothing like it. It's just despicable. They want a war with us. That Alex Jones, that InfoWars. You know, all we're doing is getting MRAPs prepared to fight the Constitution, and they don't like it. I never heard nothing like that in my life. You know, he's probably even putting that accent on. It sounds so fake. I'm here, and I'm real deliberative, and I'm talking to you, and I'm telling you right now, partner, you're not about to scalp our men, women, and children. We're under attack from InfoWars. Just save us. How dare them? No. All over the country, they're trying to brainwash police. Most police are seeing through it, and it's backfiring. We're here trying to defend local police from the Justice Department in an attempt to start a war between the people and the police. Everybody knows that's our message, is nonviolence. But every time the Southern Poverty Law Center has a sock puppet, they just say we're violent, 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 violent. And when he said that, I want you to go to the representative, the state rep you have there, to give us his take. I'm just so sick of this, and you can play more of his clip. But I was told that the sheriff's been calling, you know, asking if we're going to play the full quote of the quote officer. Absolutely. I mean, the point is that this is a tactic they use. It's like Art Acevedo, the awesome police chief, who I think overall is a good guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. He's done a lot of good things for the department, but he's done a lot of bad stuff under federalization. His blood draw program has been overturned by the Supreme Court, all sorts of stuff. And I told him years ago, I said, that is unconstitutional, period. He said, no, it's not. It is constitutional. Well, guess what? It's been overturned. That's the exact type of stuff. When we had the mayor pro tem say, when we register your guns, we will then confiscate them. And then one of his supporters started cussing. We had the video, and the police chief said, no, that was your guy cussing. Well, no, Art, we weren't cussing. We have the video. So this is a tactic to change the subject. And I would tell police something. You'll get more respect instead of running tactics and lying about people or misrepresenting. You'll get more respect even when you're wrong by telling the truth than playing games of tactics. So that is a scripted tactic to make them look like the victims. And see, we told you the Constitution's bad. We told you we need the tank. See, they want to kill us now. InfoWars has it on. He didn't say in the comments that they could be making. I'm not saying that, but obviously anybody could be doing it anonymously. No. They're not saying that. They're saying, it's on the sack. They want to kill us. Oh, boy. You need that, Alex J. Kind of a terrorist. All right, I'm going to stop ranting. You can finish up, Dave, and go to the state rep. God bless you all. Infowars.com.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, we're going to go to State Representative Matt Shea right now. And, of course, we reached out to the sheriff. We asked for his comment. I think that video was first put up on the nightly news on Friday. Then, of course, it was posted the next day on YouTube. That was when Mikhail did the article on Saturday. They didn't put up that video until the following Monday. They didn't respond to us. They posted on Facebook. We put his responses in. We put his video in. We will have him on to talk to us if he's willing to come on and talk to us. But we wanted to get Representative Shea's comments on this because the sheriff said that this was taken out of context. Representative Shea, do you believe that this is out of context? Give us the context of what's going on there in Spokane County.
Well, first of all, in Spokane Valley, Washington, we're one of the most conservative, constitutionally minded areas in this part of the state of Washington, number one. Number two, the fact that they said this was taken out of context, there is no situation, there is no context where this statement would be justified. She asked him an open-ended question, this deputy, and the deputy responded immediately with constitutionalists. And that people that were hoarding guns and weapons, and thank God the people here in Spokane Valley, Washington, do hoard guns and weapons. Obviously, there's a good reason for them to do so now. And the fact that this guy said this, and it is now, the smoking gun of what we've all kind of believed, that there was an agenda, especially by the Southern Poverty Law Center, to demonize constitutionalists, and that it was bleeding over into some areas of law enforcement. This is the smoking gun, in my opinion. And I think
we've seen that over and over again. We've had the scenarios from them. We've had the literature from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the ones going in and propagandizing the sheriffs, the sheriff's deputies, the police chiefs, the police officers. They're the ones who are the front for the federal government, but they're also getting these talking points, talking about constitutionalists. They're also getting that from the federal government. His response, he was talking about how his MRAP was going to protect them from gunfire. She said, well, why do you need that here in this small town? And he said, well, we've got constitutionalists and people with guns and weapons. In other words, that's the context. There isn't any other context. And as you point out, why would there ever be any context that would make it okay for the police to come after people because they're bitter clingers to the Constitution? Is that a crime now in the United States?
Apparently, based on some of these statements, but I want to be really clear about this particular sheriff. This is not the first time that people have had problems in this area with this sheriff. He did have the Southern Poverty Law Center in a few years ago to train his officers. There was a huge outcry in our community, and he backpedaled very, very quickly on this, but very clearly their training has taken root with some officers and some deputies. What I do want to point out, though, is that a lot of the deputies, the rank and file deputies in the Spokane County Sheriff's Department, do not agree with the direction that this sheriff is going. They didn't agree with the statements made by that deputy. And in fact, in this last campaign season, the Deputies Association did not endorse this sheriff. Mm. They went against him. And part of the reason is because they don't like this direction where they're, you know, he's taking this attitude against law-abiding citizens that he's taking and fostering this attitude among his department.
We're seeing that happen in a lot of different places. I mean, we saw that when we had that shooting out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they shot that homeless man on the hill and everybody saw the video footage of that. Then it came to light that Albuquerque had one of the highest per capita shootings of any police department across the country. Yet they had a new curriculum that they put into their state police academy. And one of the longtime instructors there said, I am not going to teach that new curriculum because that's a shoot first curriculum. So there's a lot of people from veterans on down who are not going along with this new script, with these new rules of engagement, if you will. I want to talk to you right after the break. We've got to go to a break, but I want to talk to you also about these comments that were made. This came up in the interview last night that we have up on Infowars.com at a Central Valley High School that the sheriff made, where he says, with a strike of a pen, I can affect your freedom. We're going to be right back with Representative Matt Shea from Washington State. Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in the studio in Austin on this Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. I have on the line with me Representative Matt Shea out of Washington State. We're talking to him because of the comments a sheriff's deputy made last week about his MRAP, saying that he needed the MRAP to protect him from constitutionalists, people, you know, with lots of weapons and ammunition. These are straight out of the talking points of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and as Representative Shea has told us, to no surprise, this sheriff has a history of bringing in the Southern Poverty Law Center. But Representative Shea, you said that there were people there in the sheriff's department, rank-and-file deputies, that had a problem, as well as the public, with him bringing in the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tell us a little bit about that. How did they blow the whistle on that to the public?
They absolutely did. And actually, I attended the training personally because I am on the Southern Poverty Law Center's dirty dozen of the most dangerous state legislators in the country. And I take that as a badge.
Congratulations. That's good.
Yeah. So I attended the training. I wanted to see for my own with my own eyes and for myself what they were actually training. And a lot of their training was calling the Constitution Party, We the People, Tea Partiers, terrorists. And actually, this sheriff had his picture on the bottom corner of the slide presentation and then later tried to say he didn't know what was in the training and tried to backpedal, which just didn't seem correct. And one of the more frightening parts of the training was when they put the picture up of the leader of the We the People movement out of Pullman and called him a domestic terrorist when he'd never been charged with a crime at all, ever. And well, put his picture on the screen.
We've shown a video that was taken at one of these presentations a long, long time ago. Alex has put it in the documentaries we've shown over and over again on the news, on the radio, where they're training officers and telling them that the founding fathers of America were terrorists. So, you know, we don't need to go any further than that. If they're calling them terrorists, and there's the article right up there, DOD training manual, extremists, founding fathers would not be welcome in today's military. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from Washington. So don't feel bad that they single you out. You're in good company. You're right there with Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I like I said, I take it as a badge of honor. I'm a combat veteran. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Ron Paul. I'm pro-Constitution. I'm a gun owner. And I'm also a constitutional attorney as well. So I think I hit everything on their list. So, we should be proud of that because that's what made America great, was being a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving person and believing that the Constitution means what it says. I think we have to ask this sheriff and anybody that tries to support him and his policies, why aren't you a constitutionalist? Why don't you believe that the Constitution means what it says? Why don't you believe in the rule of law? Because that's what constitutionalism is. It's people that support the Constitution of the United States, the idea that we have inalienable rights given to us by God, and also that we are a culture that believes strongly in the rule of law. Why don't you believe that? I think the sheriff has to answer that. And his entire video was nothing but a deflection and trying to lay the blame on other people and really very candidly trying to bully and intimidate, which this sheriff has a past history of doing with a lot of citizens in our community.
I want to go to your comments about his appearance at Central Valley High School on October 20th. Was that October 20th of this year?
Yeah, October 20th, 2014, there was a debate at Central Valley High School Government Club put on, and he said the following. This is a quote. This is a transcript from a video of the debate, and he said, quote, at the end of this debate as his closing statement, "I, with the strike of a pen, can affect your freedom. I can also take your life in certain circumstances."
Wow.
Now, you even if that's true, why would you say it? I mean, and why would you say it to a group of high school students?
Well, you're intimidating people. I mean, that's been a lot of what's going on with the new types of attitudes that we've seen coming out of law enforcement. An in-your-face intimidation to say, I can affect your freedom and I can take your life in certain circumstances. That's really chilling.
It is chilling, especially in light of this comment by this deputy in regards to the MRAP. But it was interesting, a year prior, at the same debate, so this is a year before this same sheriff called out two Spokane Valley City Council members as being constitutionalists and therefore dangerous people, and that we should vote against them because they're constitutionally minded. And he actually said that in front of those kids, and those two particular city council people won, but challenged him afterwards on why he felt the need to say that and call them dangerous.
He really is not only drinking the Kool-Aid, but passing it on to other people there when he's talking about this constitutionalist as being the enemy. Now, of course, in that very long video, he says, We took an oath to the Constitution. I'm a constitutionalist. Really, when you say that, when you call people out and say they need to be opposed because they're constitutionalists, say that people who identify themselves as being for the Constitution are going to shoot you with their weapons and ammunition that they've stockpiled. We're going to be right back with Representative Matthew Shea. I want to also talk to him about the recent legislation that happened in the last election regarding gun transfers there in the state of Washington.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin on this Wednesday, December 17th. We have joining us on the line Representative Matt Shea from Washington State. He is in the area where we had the story that went up this last weekend about the sheriff's deputy talking about how he needed his NRAP to defend himself from constitutionalists. The sheriff subsequently came on and said those remarks were taken out of context. We have both those videos up at Infowars.com. You can see for yourself whether it was taken out of context. We're getting the broader context of what's been going on there in Washington State from Matthew Shea. It's a very chilling story indeed of the Southern Poverty Law Center coming in and giving training seminars to this sheriff's department. Sheriff subsequently claiming after other deputies and law enforcement officers there complained to the public about this, said, hey, wait a minute, we're being taught some really bad stuff here by the Southern Poverty Law Center, because we know where this script is coming from. We've heard this before. We know when somebody comes out and says, I'm training against the constitutionalists, we know that's coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And of course, this sheriff himself tried to disavow any knowledge of this. He hadn't looked at the materials before he called them in for training. Really? He also, though, had, as Representative Shea said, his picture at the bottom of the slides. And I guess the question is, when he himself has called people out in opposition, deriding them as constitutionalists who ran for local government, as Representative Shea told us, it has to call into question really what they have against the Constitution. Now, of course, we have extended an invitation to him to come on and talk about this. We have put his video up so you can see his rebuttal. And we're going to be talking about the larger context of things. Before I go back to Representative Shea, and I want to put in a plug here. We have an essential holiday pack, which is a special that is running. Actually, it was yesterday and today. It was a two-day special. Alex earlier said today and tomorrow, so maybe that's going to be extended for one day. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it's Secret 12, the B12 formula, X2, Nascent Iodine, and Silver Bullet, all three for only $59.99. That's 57% off. Three of the most crucial nutraceutical formulas you can get, that Secret 12, Survival Shield X2, Iodine, and Silver Bullet. And, of course, if you order by today, you can get it guaranteed delivery by Christmas. And that's how we support our operation. We don't take funding from big pharmaceutical companies or other large corporations, so we can basically say what we want to without them shutting us down. That's the way we fund it independently, and it's a win-win situation for us and for you, bringing you high-quality nutraceuticals and supplements. Let's go back to Representative Shea in Washington. Representative Shea, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this this law that was passed as part of a referendum in Washington this last election, prohibiting, amongst other things, transfer of weapons from one individual to another in terms of a private sale. I think it restricts that unless there's a background check. Is that correct?
That is correct, actually. It was I-594, and I helped lead the charge, actually, in the legislature to defeat the bill that was eventually used as the template for the initiative. And we were in a 6-vote minority. We were able to defeat it because it was so bad. We called it universal transfer check and taxation, because literally the use tax would apply to every single transfer, generating an enormous amount of revenue for the government on one hand as a tax increase. And on the second, literally every transfer with very, very few exceptions would be implicated by this initiative. And really, this initiative was bought and paid for by the anti-gunners, including Bill Gates, who put in $1 million, as I understand it, of his money to help get this initiative passed. A lot of people didn't know what was actually in the initiative and voted for it because they were ignorant of what was in the actual written law. It was 18 pages long, and a lot of people didn't take the time to read it. So it's a really bad precedent for the rest of the country, and the anti-gunners are going to take it from Washington and try and export it throughout the rest of the United States. But literally, a veteran going on deployment in the National Guard, before you cross the threshold of a base, you have to, but when you're going on deployment, you have to give your firearm to somebody to hold while you're on deployment. And literally that transfer, based on how vaguely this law is written, would be banned, and you would have to do that background check for these deploying veterans. And that's just reprehensible that this thing got passed. But we're continuing to fight it. I'm introducing the bill to repeal that this session, and we're going to be fighting this tooth and nail at every step.
Now, there was a rally that we reported on yesterday or on Monday. There was a rally of people saying they will not comply. And again, filming themselves, doing a transfer, here's the gun, taking the money, that sort of thing. And even the sheriff, if I'm pronouncing his name correct, is it Nezovich? Is that his how you pronounce his?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He said that he was not in favor of this law, that he opposed it. He said it was unenforceable. But I guess, beyond whether or not it's enforceable or not, it is certainly an infringement that makes it unconstitutional on gun ownership, as well as something that even if they don't go around and enforce it, because they're not going to know if there's a private transaction, a private sale, once they arrest somebody on a charge, or no matter how serious or how minor, they could always bring this in to trump those charges up at a later date. That's the issue, I think.
I think really it is the issue. You're not going to see anything happen until one other crime is committed. I think you're absolutely correct in this. And this particular sheriff was on the right side of this issue. But by the same token, this is the same sheriff who walked out on Sheriff Richard Mack, who's the head of the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association, during our Republican Lincoln Day dinner here in Spokane County, literally walked out on him just before Sheriff Mack was going to speak. And I think that the actions here speak louder than the words. And yes, it is unenforceable. But more importantly, it's unconstitutional, and not just in violation of our national constitution, but also in violation of our state constitution, Article 1, Section 24, which is even more protective of our Second Amendment rights, so and our right to bear arms. So this to me is an issue that we have to draw a line in the sand on. I know a lot of the people that attended the rally on the other side of the state. They're very good people, including Representative Elizabeth Scott, who has been helping lead the fight, especially on the west side of the state, to get this bill, get this initiative repealed.
Now, you said he walked out on Sheriff Mack, who is the head of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, why did he walk out on Sheriff Mack?
Well, he felt that Sheriff Mack was dangerous, at least this is what he said, was dangerous because the sheriff can't just unilaterally defend and uphold the Constitution, to which many of us responded, isn't that what you take an exact oath to do?
Absolutely.
Isn't that why you're elected, is to defend the Constitution and to go against the federal government if the federal government's doing something unconstitutional? The United States Supreme Court in several cases has recognized this vertical check and balance between the sovereignty of local elected officials, the sovereignty of state governments, and the sovereignty of the national governments, and that there's this inherent vertical check. So it really fell flat for a lot of people, and a lot of people started questioning his true motives when they heard that. And that was a couple of years ago that happened.
Well, it seems like anybody that aligns himself or labels himself as supporting the Constitution, this sheriff seems to have a problem with, whether it's Sheriff Mack or whether it is somebody who's running for a local office, labeling them as constitutionalists, therefore don't vote for them, or if it's some imaginary boogeyman that the Southern Poverty Law Center has put up on their slides. If they like the Constitution, this sheriff seems to have a problem with it. Let's talk a little bit about the rally that's going to happen this weekend.
There's going to be one protest down at the Spokane County Courthouse at 12 o'clock, and that is going to be to protest the implementation of I-594. It's our version on this side of the state of the Do Not Comply rally that happened in Olympia here in this last week. And then after that, at 2 o'clock, there's going to be another protest out at the sheriff's office in Spokane Valley against this sheriff's defense of the comments that the MRAP would be used for constitutionalists who stockpile guns and ammunition. So it's going to happen this weekend, both, and there's a lot of response already among the community, and I think there's going to be a pretty good turnout.
I've said many times before that I think our best chance to try to restrain the federal government is not going to be within the federal government itself, because it seems to be so corrupt, so much power concentrated there, but a check and balance from outside of the federal government at the state and local level. And I'm glad to see that there are state reps like you standing at the state level who understand the Constitution and are going to stand against that. Let me ask you, what can we do to stop this militarization of the police?
Well, I think there's a couple things that can be done. First of all, we have to hold these folks accountable. And also ask the question, do you really need an MRAP? Or as Senator Rand Paul mm-hmm. recently asked, do you really need to give bayonets to local law enforcement? What do you need bayonets for? We need to ask those questions. And I think that the city councils, the county commissioners at the very local level need to not endorse MRAPs and bayonets being used and given to law enforcement by the federal government grant program and stop it that way. I think that's one of the ways that we stop the militarization of police. I think the second way we do that is at the state level. And we have an entire thing that we call the Freedom Agenda. You can go to Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook and look at that. And the Freedom Agenda deals with all of these issues, everything from the use of MRAPs at the local level to the use of stingrays and the use of what happened in Washington State, where the NCIS, Naval Criminal Investigative Service, hacked into 1.5 million computers that was actually broke by InfoWars, and combating the whole issue and not just one segment of it, because it is a lot bigger than MRAPs. It's basically the attitude that's out there that there is no privacy anymore. The Fourth Amendment is obsolete and we don't have to comply with the idea that people should be secure in their personal effects. So,
and of course, we've just had to underscore how dangerous this all is, and I think how futile it is to think that the congressmen are really going to stand against it. They just passed a law saying that that they can essentially legalizing this kind of spying. They just did that as they came back. Now, again, that Facebook page was Freedom Agenda Washington. We had that up as you were talking about it. You're talking about limiting their access to military vehicles, as you mentioned, Rand Paul saying, do we really need to give bayonets to our police? I would ask, do we really need to give them some of these nasty, quote-unquote, non-lethal crowd control weapons that the military-industrial complex is starting to get very ingenious about cranking out? This is a huge, huge profit center. The military-industrial complex has been funding the war machine that has gotten so out of hand here in the United States. Now they're turning inward to the United States, and they are coming up with all kinds of new and very nasty weapons for local police departments. Is there some way that we can prohibit that at the local level, that we can essentially enact maybe a gun control law for these types of crowd control efforts at the local level?
Well, like LRADs or sound cannons were deployed yes. in three separate cities during the whole Ferguson issue and the situation there. And I think it's the right question to ask. And I think the overarching principle or issue is they want us to self-censor, and that's the worst kind of tyranny. They want us to be so afraid to speak out or protest or go to a rally that we will censor ourselves. And again, that is the worst kind of tyranny. So at the local level, some of the things that we can do is literally have our local elected officials not comply with the federal government. The federal government relies on local law enforcement, local elected officials, state elected officials to just go along with all these federal programs and sign these agreements. We don't have to do that. We cannot sign those agreements. We can actually get rid of those agreements. We can put in place a bulwark against what the federal government is trying to do to take away people's rights. And that is how we do it. One city at a time, one county at a time, one state at a time, by intentionally not going along and complying with the federal government and being their enforcement arm. That's what they have to use to enforce this stuff because they aren't big enough to do it on their own. So if local governments fight back, County governments fight back. State governments fight back. The federal government literally will not be able to enforce all of these unconstitutional programs and actions.
That's what we saw in Nevada as the Bundy Ranch standoff was going on. The day that we arrived, they had a First Amendment area marked off. And the absurdity of that. Here you've got this large area that you just drive for hours and not see anything because it's all federally owned. And there's nothing built out there. And then this little corner of the wilderness, as you get off of the exit, there's this little area that's got orange, utility construction stuff marked off. It says free speech area. And somebody had put up a handwritten sign, said the free speech, that free speech is not an area. And so these were the actions of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, the federals who had come in. And Bundy and others were asking the sheriff to exercise his lawful authority. There's a picture of it. We got it up there right now. It's absolutely amazing. Free speech area. But, you know, Representative Shea, we've seen that at political conventions, the last several presidential conventions on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. They have limited free speech to remote areas in the city, putting people even in cages so they could come there and stand there and address each other in this little cage, but not address their grievances peacefully in front of the convention. That's the types of things that we're seeing. But in Nevada, they were asking the sheriff to exercise his lawful authority. They said, the BLM doesn't have any authority to come in here and rope off an area and say that's a free speech area. The governor said so as well. So why wouldn't the sheriff stop that? Why wouldn't the sheriff stop them attacking protesters, tasering protesters, taking them down to the ground, attacking a woman from behind and throwing her to the ground? That's why they were asking for a sheriff to exercise his lawful authority to protect the people in his jurisdiction. You're very right. This is a jurisdictional separation of powers. And we have the sheriff is the highest law enforcement official in the area. That's why he's elected.
That's been recognized by the Supreme Court correctly time and time again that he's the chief law enforcement officer in a county. And for most counties in this country, the federal government cannot operate in a law enforcement capacity in that county unless they have the county sheriff's explicit permission to do so. And if the county sheriff just stands in the way, and there are countless examples of county sheriffs doing this, just stand in the way and say, no, you're not going to do that in my county. The federal government has to acquiesce. And I want to mention something about the First Amendment zone. I was there at the Bundy Ranch proudly, and I came back home and I was giving some presentations on it. And one of the questions I would always ask was, hey, is there any reporters in the audience right now? And a couple hands would go up, and I'd say, well, could you please go outside of the First Amendment zone that we have? And you could see them get visibly angry, right?
Yeah.
And then I asked the question, no, you don't like it, do you? Then why didn't you report on that? Why didn't the mainstream media pick that up? Because that is, you know, that's a blatant violation of the Constitution. And by a BLM and Forest Service, by the way, that had been found by a federal district court judge, Robert C. Jones in U.S. v. Hage, to be... And he referred him for charges of extortion, mail fraud, and this is an agency of the government. You don't hear that happening, but the last charge was more shocking, racketeering.
Yes.
This judge literally referred him for that. And this is the same outfit, these two agencies that were down there at the Bundy Ranch, again, just ignoring people's constitutional rights.
Absolutely. We've got to go to break right now. We're going to come back with Representative Matt Shea out of Washington State. Stay with us. We'll be right back. To the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in Austin, and joining us from Washington State is Representative Matt Shea. Now, he's on because of the video that we received last week from Washington where a sheriff's deputy said he needed his MRAP to protect against constitutionalists. Subsequently, the sheriff's department, Sheriff Nezovich, put up a video on the following Monday saying that we were just a conspiracy theory site and using essentially the Southern Poverty Law Center talking points. He said a lot of things in that 9-minute video. We put that up to give his side of the story, but we'd very much like to talk to Sheriff Nezovich. He said he would be willing to come on and talk to us. We'll be willing to talk to him. We'd like for him to come on and make that case, and we'll talk to him about that. Right now we have Representative Matt Shea. And he's been talking about the broader context there of these comments. And we've been talking about how we can get the police under control. I think it's a very good idea for us to put some kind of a limit on the kinds of equipment that the police need. I mean, do they need tactical nukes? Do they need bayonets? Do they need these MRAP vehicles? I don't think they do, and I don't think they need a lot of the crowd control methods equipment that we've seen already, as well as stuff that is in the pipeline from the military-industrial complex. It's a huge profit center that they're coming up with, and we're going to see some pretty hideous stuff if we don't get ahead of this. I think our best bet, our the best way we have to blockade this is with representatives like Matt Shea out of Washington, who really understand and appreciate the Constitution. Don't see constitutionalists as the enemy, as the bad guy. I wanted to ask you, Representative Shea, in terms of excessive use of police force that we've seen over and over again, because this is something else that's being driven by the federals. What do we do about that? We've had lawyers on who've talked about this. Do we skip a grand jury for a police officer and say maybe if there's a shooting, we go straight to an open trial so everybody can see what's going on, maybe have an outside prosecutor? A lot of people have talked about these types of solutions. We need to have some confidence in the system, and it looks like the system is trying to investigate itself. How do we get control of that with citizen oversight committees? What would you suggest? Do you have any ideas on that?
I think it's a combination of both, actually. I think an outside prosecutor is non-negotiable in those situations and has to be used. I do think that a citizen rights review board should be a part of this, and not just talking about when there's an officer-involved shooting, but also where we're talking about this issue of the attitude, you know, that constitutionalists are the bad guy. That citizen rights review board could also review training curriculum and ask questions if the training curriculum goes yes. down the road of the Southern Poverty Law Center. That citizen mm-hmm. rights review board could review all of the times that MRAP has been deployed during a year. So those are some things that I think need to happen. But I also think that constitutional rights training by a bona fide constitutional scholar needs to be implemented, obviously, in Spokane Valley. And that has to happen as well, because without that, the attitude just isn't going to change. I mean, this is a matter of right and wrong. It's right to uphold the Constitution, right to uphold your oath, and it's wrong to
Boy, we're getting a little bit of breakup there. I could not agree with you more, Representative Shea. People in Washington are so lucky to have somebody like you there to point this out. Getting in there and having an oversight from citizens as to what the curriculum is, I think that is really vital, because that really is the core at where this is going south, I think. This is where the federal government is coming in, and they're propagandizing police officers, getting them afraid, inordinately afraid of the population, telling them that people are their enemy who are not their enemy. It's that kind of divide and conquer that is very dangerous. I think it's very, very important to have that kind of oversight. Just before we go, tell us one more time where this demonstration is going to be this weekend on Saturday.
It's going to be at Spokane County Courthouse at 12 o'clock, and then we're going to be moving out to the Spokane Valley Sheriff's Office at 2 o'clock. And all the good deputies want this training, too. I would add that. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you so much for joining us. The people of Washington are very lucky to have you. Thank you so much, Representative Matt Shea from Washington State. That's it for today. Join us tonight at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the Nightly News.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.